Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Welcome back into the show. Let me remind you guys to tune in this Sunday as the Chiefs take on the Bills right here on 96.5 The Fan. And a big thanks to our friends over at Yuengling for their support of the Salute to Service Games. Yuengling, a true American lager, saluting those who have served our great country. Somebody who I know loves showing support to the troops. Somebody who also loves a good Yuengling from time to time. Yep. Jay Binkley joins us in studio. Binkley, how you doing today, my brother?
What's good on, C-Dot? Oldest brewery in America, by the way.
Can I play some audio for you, man?
Yeah. And salute the service the Chiefs did the other night. Great. Outstanding stuff.
So we have a bit that we do. It's called Spec Says.
Yeah.
It's not every day at the same time. It's not every week at the same time. But just every once in a while, we let Spec hop in the booth.
He has things to say sometimes.
For sure. 100%. So we allowed Spec to give us his Spec Says for the week. And I just want you to hear what the big boss man had to say.
All right. It's Buffalo week. It's Bills week. So I'm going to go sweet Thai chili 1, lemon pepper 2, and I'll go Buffalo number 3. But that's not why you have me recording today. I would say 8 out of 10 times at the restaurant, I am going to order boneless wings over bone-in. I'm okay with bone-in wings as an appetizer, but it's not an entree. There's a lot of work involved with eating the wings. It's messy, and the amount of meat per bite is just not worth it to me. I think people say they like bone-in wings more than they do because of the setting that they're in. It's football, you're at a bar, whatever, but the actual food, if you put it in a vacuum, bone-in wings are incredibly overrated.
Wow. What do you think, man?
I like bone-in because those are chicken nuggets. It's what they are. Football, you get the brew, bone-in wings. And you know what? They aren't appetizers. I never looked at them really as an entree. I mean, that's an appetizer. For instance, you go to Smokehouse Barbecue, you get the barbecue, and then you get a plate of wings, plate of bone-in wings. Their wings are outstanding. I never had their wings there until I heard Fesco talking about them. And I was like, I go to this place to eat barbecue all the time. Let's get their wings. And I tried their wings, and they're unbelievable. But, you know, it's a nice little appetizer, the boneless wings.
This is what I said earlier.
And I don't care about the mess.
If the waitress comes around and she hands you a menu, and then you take time to look over the menu when you're thinking about what you want to get, and you decide that you want to get the wings, and she asks you a very important question. Do you want boneless or bone-in? If you tell that woman boneless, you should be asked to leave.
Just flat out leave.
Just, hey, she should take the menu from you, and she should thank you for your service and just get you on your way. All right? Just pay for whatever you got. You got a drink, whatever it is. It's time for you to leave. We're not serving you.
You got to nibble on that wing, though, and have that bone in there. It's kind of plate the bones. You know, you get that stacking up that plate of bones from the wings.
Boneless wings are baby shower food. That's what it is. It's nice wedding reception food, you know? You walk up in there, they got some.
It's not as messy.
Yeah, that's what it is. You out here eating wedding reception food. That's what I would consider it, man. I'm telling you, I would look at you, if me and you were sitting there about to watch Thursday Night Football, and we got, you know, we got a nice little Yingling right in front of us, and you order the boneless wings. I don't know if I want to be seen with you anymore.
It'd be bone in.
What's your favorite flavor? Like, if you're getting a nice little bone-in wing, you're at a Jefferson's. What are you getting?
The spicy version of them, the sriracha, that kind of thing. But I do like that. I do like those Cajun butter wings they got up at the smokehouse. I am a fan of that. Or just traditional buffalo style, too. I like those.
Yeah, buffalo wings are okay. I don't love buffalo wings. Like, that's not my favorite flavor.
I go to Al's, and they do great buffalo wings.
I have tried Al's one time. I did enjoy it. I don't know if it's a
top
place
three. It's a top three
that I would like constantly keep going out of my way to go to. I don't like it that much, but it was good, though.
Jefferson's very good. Al's very good. Smokehouse is underrated good, how good their wings are. And of course, peanuts good.
Right now, we're joined in studio by our guy, Jay Binkley. This was the point that I made to Joshua Briscoe earlier when he was here.
What did Briscoe say, by the way? Did you ask him?
I don't even want to talk about it. That's why he's gone.
Oh, no.
That's why Briscoe's gone. You see, we had to get him up out of that seat. Now you see what happened. So this is what I told him. In week two, I picked the Eagles. The Eagles were better at the time than the Chiefs. They were better. I feel that same way in reverse about this game. I just think the Chiefs are the better team. A big reason why right now is I'm playing a little bit of the schedule game with the Buffalo Bills. They have beaten up on a lot of the bad teams in the National Football League. They've played two teams with the pulse. The Patriots have a pulse. The Falcons have a pulse. They lost both of those games. You got to show me you can beat one of the better teams.
Well, the
Falcons in the National
sometimes
Football
have a pulse. That team was beaten 30-0 by the Panthers.
Fair point.
And the Colts have had that kind of schedule, too. Buffalo's schedule is one of the easiest in NFL history to start this season. I do think they're better than that. I'm going to ask. I got a guy from Rochester that carries the Bills game. It's a sister station of ours, an Odyssey station out in Western New York. I'm going to ask him because he's been on every year when the Chiefs play the Bills. And I'm curious because in previous years, you might not have taken this team. But I'm curious about that. Would you take the Chiefs team, the whole team and the coaching staff for your Buffalo Bills staff? Would you take the Chiefs team and the coaches? Because in previous years, you might not have said that. But this year, I'm kind of curious because would you take this Chiefs team over the team in Buffalo? And I would have to think he'd say yes, because I agree with you 100%. This is a better team.
Yeah, I think normally it feels like a coin flip going into it. Now, the score might be reflective of a coin flip. I'm not here pretending like I think the Chiefs are going to go in there and beat them 31-10. I don't think that. But I think if we do the tail of the tape and we really go by quarterback, running back, offensive line, wide receivers, if we go do that, I don't think there's a lot of places that you would check the box for Buffalo right now. Not with the way that Kansas City is playing. Not with them holding the last two opponents they've played to 7 points. Not with this Chiefs defense being able to stop the run and no team being able to run on them. Not with the offense looking as complete as they've looked the last couple of weeks. I don't really see where there's a lot of just known advantages that the Bills have, where I don't think that was the case last year. I thought last year that Buffalo, certainly in the regular season, I thought they were playing a little bit better football. Maybe they might end up getting to that, but this just doesn't feel like a true coin flip to me.
No, I'm with you. And when you look at things, by the way, the Chiefs do have more penalties than the Bills. I know they had a bye week, but the Chiefs still have more penalty yards and penalties than the Buffalo Bills have. Just throwing that out there. Because people don't think the Chiefs ever get penalties. They do. They're ninth in the NFL. The one area I think they have the advantage is clearly running. They're number one running team in the NFL. They're very good at that. And they're very good at pass defense. They're number two in pass defense in the league. But they do average about 164 yards a game running the ball. But it doesn't scare me because Washington came in, and that's the only thing they could do. Washington was number two in the NFL in running the football. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is a part of that, you know, but he didn't play. But they're still 158 yards a game. Chiefs held them to 60 yards rushing. I mean, so, yeah, I think the Chiefs will be, you know, more slanted to stopping Josh Allen than worrying about their running game, so to speak, with the true running back situation. And I do think that matters. But the Chiefs, without Jaden Daniels, are like, all right, why don't you stop the run? I mean, this is what they can do. They can do well. We don't care about Debo and Mariota throwing the ball. We'll let him do it. We'll stop the running game. And they did. And I think that Allen still will be an emphasis for them to stop. They have been getting much better on fourth down. They're 25% with teams going for fourth down on the Chiefs, which has kind of been what they do. Josh Allen taking that fourth and three and, you know, turning into 4 yard gain, or taking a 4rd and 2 and taking it 15 yards for a touchdown. It's what he does. I think the Chiefs will still spy him. They won't respect the passing game as much because they shouldn't. It's not as good this year. And they'll limit that running game of the Bills. I think you shut that down and you shut down the Buffalo Bills.
It's been crazy how close these games have been and how it just always feels like there's one big moment that happens in these games. whether it was last year and the failed fourth down conversion where Buffalo tries to go for the tush push, that is a major reason of why we have the chip in the ball this season. If you think back to Travis Kelce in the lateral with Kadarius Toney being lined up offsides, like we can go through the last five, six games. I always feel like there's one big moment, one big play. And usually in the regular season, it feels like that play kind of goes towards the Buffalo Bills, the Josh Allen forced down last year. And in the postseason, the Chiefs, they've made that play in every single one of these matchups in January.
Yeah, they do. And it's just funny, you know, seeing how good – it's not funny. It's what he does. It's how Mahomes is seeing the field. And they did spotlight that on the Monday Night broadcast as far as Mahomes always looking downfield. Because they always tell quarterbacks, you know, don't look at your feet. Don't look at the line. Look downfield. Look downfield to make a play. That's what he's doing. Like, he's finding people. That connection with his receivers, because remember, he had this group coming back this year, which is important. Tyquan was back here with the practice squad last year, so he was familiar with what they're doing. And obviously, Hollywood Brown, in his second year with the Chiefs, I know he was injured last year, but he's still there. And obviously, Rashee Rice knows this offense inside now, as does Kelce. But you see this kid in Worthy, of course, coming back for second year. But the connection he's got with his receivers, and sometimes they don't do the right things, like Noah Gray kind of cut off his route, ran towards the inside, towards the safety. Mahomes still threw the ball, you know, downfield where he should have gone. He should have gone straight vertical towards the end zone, nine route straight there. But Noah didn't, like, he didn't have that connection with Mahomes there. Like, that connection you're looking for. Mahomes still threw the football where he thought he should go, but Noah broke it off the inside, and he's kind of, you know, this is what they do. And Devontae Adams, when he was on the Manning cast, said, I don't even know if the Chiefs have a playbook, because in a complimentary way, he was saying, because the receivers just all know where Mahomes wants them to go, and they'll look for that weakness in the defense, and they'll go to it. It's understanding what the defense is doing. Like Mahomes coming up the line, calling out cover zero for Washington, and they had the audible out of their blitz because they were going to come. Mahomes called out their defense and what they were doing before the play even began when he walked up to the line of scrimmage. But the whole connection he's building with the receivers and something else is just something we haven't seen in the last couple of years, because he's been trying to make do with who he has. This time he's got a group of guys that understand who and what he is and what he's trying to do, and it's proving dividends.
Have you been more impressed with the Chiefs' offense or the defense over the last 3 weeks?
Well, of course I'm impressed with the offense. How can you not be with what they're doing? I mean, scoring 28 points a game all the time and, you know, setting numbers, doing that. But this defense and what they're doing on fourth down, it continues to amaze me. You know, Washington was 0-2 on fourth down, and I think the offense is a byproduct of the defense getting back on the field. Because the Chiefs are only allowing 25% conversion rate on fourth downs. Third most in the NFL, teams have gone for it against the Chiefs. Twice in Mahomes' previous 7 years, the Chiefs have led the NFL in teams going for it on fourth down. It's the one way to beat them. You got to go for it on fourth down. You got to push it. You got to try to get that. And it's been better than a coin flip. It's been an average of 57%.
Now they're the team going for it on fourth down.
Yeah, they are. And it's good to see because of what they're doing. But instead of these teams, because now it's like a 1-in-4 chance. It's not that coin flip, 50-50. But it was better than a 50% chance getting a first down against the Chiefs. And guess what's happening? Mahomes getting back on the field, and this offense is number two in points per drive, and it's what they're doing. For example, you talk about offensively, they've already gone for it 15 times. Last year, only 17 times. Year before that, 20. Year before that, just 12. So they are going for it more, and they're converting an 80% pace. But to me, it's that defense, because they've shaved more than 25% off the average. The average is 57% of teams converting on fourth down. They've shaved that down to 25%. And what that means is Mahomes is back on the field, and it's good field position. There's no punt. There's no field goal try, none of that. The team is turning the ball over. It's essentially a turnover, and there goes Mahomes with basically, you know, 20 to 30 yards more to go to be in field goal range, or this year they're actually converting those to touchdowns. So I think it's a byproduct how good the offense has been, but I think a lot of it hinges on how good this defense has been on fourth down and really taking the tempo to the defense and getting that offense out there. And the offense has been incredible. I mean, it's really been incredible, but I think they're feeding off what this defense is doing. So I guess to be honest with you, I think one way or the other last 3 weeks, I have to say defense, they are number two scoring defense in the NFL, but the offense certainly very, very, very impressive. Now these guys are back, but I do think the defense is putting them in some good field position.
Right now, we're joined in studio by our guy Jay Binkley here, going through some of the top stories right now regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. Binkley, let's say that Isaiah Pacheco was not going to play in this game. I don't think he is going to play. Let's also say that there are 20 carries out there for the running back. So we're not counting Mahomes scrambles. We're not counting Xavier Worthy end around or Rashee Rice. There's 20 running back carries that are out there. How do you think they get divvied up on Sunday?
Is this with Elijah Mitchell playing?
If you think he's going to play.
I do. I think he's been running scout team plays. Andy Reid did address Elijah Mitchell yesterday. He did come back from a pretty serious injury when he was with San Francisco. And they kept him on this roster for a reason. They gave him more money and more guaranteed money than Kareem Hunt when he came in here. Does have that 4.32 speed ability that he had at his pro day. So he does have the speed element. I think they sprinkle him in. I think if he does play, which I do expect him to play if Pacheco doesn't play, 3 to 4 carries there. I think Breshard Smith gets to the 5 or 6 carries. I think they keep trusting him more and more, and he should, because this guy's been a dynamic player. For his size, 196 pounds or whatever, he's a very physical player for what he's doing. They definitely trust him in the pass game as well as a running back. But, yeah, I can see that, and I can see Mahomes still getting his, 5 or 6 carries. And I think Kareem Hunt doubles his carries, more carries, not just the 3rd and 1, 4th and 1 for Kareem Hunt. I think he starts getting more part of the offense just until Pacheco's ready to go.
I do wish just a little bit. I wish they had given Breshard Smith more carries that kind of mattered throughout the course of the regular season. He has 25 carries so far. 14 of them came in that Raiders game. A lot of them just in garbage time. He just hasn't got a lot of carries in the regular flow of the offense.
Now, they're still splitting him out a lot.
They use him in the passing attack, and they've thrown it to him a little bit. I do hope in this game, and one thing that could potentially slow the Chiefs' offense down is they're not running the ball great, but I think it's been effective, and I think it's been in the rhythm of what they want to do offensively. You run the ball, you run it on first down, you now turn it to a 2nd and 6, you now got a manageable down and distance to kind of get the passing game involved. They found a really good rhythm with the running game. What I don't want them to be in a position is, when their offense starts to stall, they run the ball on first down, they get 2 yards, it's an incompletion, they're constantly playing from behind the sticks, long down and distances, and then usually when that happens, they get away from the run game. Kareem Hunt gets 7 carries in the game. They don't run the football. Mahomes throws it 41 times. That's usually when their offense stalls.
Well, the one thing about this running game, which is interesting, because they have been so prevalent in the passing game as far as even using the running game as extension, or the passing game as extension of that running game. Believe it or not, the Chiefs are 9th in the NFL in running the football, 128 yards a game. So they're top 10 in the NFL in running the football, but it's not the traditional way.
Yeah, live is Mahomes taking off on
scrambles. It's Mahomes taking off. It's Pacheco sprinkled in, Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, by the way, is just about the same efficiency rate as the tush push. Like, that's how good he's been this year. But they're still getting it done. Just like the receivers, we look at it with Kelce just having 99 yards. We saw Hollywood Brown with 99. They don't have a receiver over 100 yards a game. They're doing it by committee with this running game, but the bottom line, at the end of the day, you're looking at it and say, well, this team's 9th in the NFL in running, so they're finding a way to manufacture those yards on the ground.
If Buffalo was able to add one player to their team that wasn't Patrick Mahomes, who do you think they would take?
Trey Hendrickson?
I mean, from the Chiefs.
Oh, from the Chiefs.
From the Chiefs, yeah.
Oh, they'd take Tyquan or Hollywood, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they go wide receiver, too. I think they take Rashee Rice. Like, I think if you tell Buffalo, you can take...
Oh, thinking of anybody they want? Yeah, Rice, but they're not going to do that, so...
If it was the other way around, it's like right now, if the Chiefs got to take one player off the Bills roster, who do you think they would take?
Cook.
You didn't even hesitate.
No.
I might be willing to see
if NFL's leading rusher, why wouldn't you take him?
I might be willing to see if Ed Oliver's healthy and see if you can get a pass rusher for the second half of the season.
So Ed's not fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's not fine now. He's coming back at some point, we believe, though.
Yeah, we'll see. But no, I definitely go with James Cook, second in the NFL. In yards, only behind Jonathan Taylor. So I'd take Cook.
It's a very weird thing because, you do interviews for this, I do interviews for this, and then people ask you about the Chiefs' run defense, and are you worried about James Cook? It is crazy to be in a position where they're going up against, right now, who is playing like one of the 5 best running backs in the NFL, and you just don't really feel very nervous about it. I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to hold James Cook to 31 yards rushing, but there's also not really a reason to think that he's going to run for 130 yards against Kansas City either. I'm guessing this is going to be like a normal Kansas City Chiefs run game where he has 15 carries for 61 yards. Maybe he has one decent run, but he doesn't really have one long back-breaking run that really flips the game. Like, the fact that the Chiefs defense has been able for basically the last 3 seasons to make teams get away from running the football and at times make them one-dimensional is a major reason why they might have one of the best defenses in the the league.
Yeah, just like when Cody Tapp tweeted out the other day, they are facing 1, 2, 3, and 4 running backs the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So the top four running backs in the league, they're facing. Because James Cook's number two. They face him this week. Then it's J.K. Dobbins after the bye with Denver. Then it's Jonathan Taylor, the number one running back in the NFL. Then on Thanksgiving, the next game, Javonte Williams of Dallas. I don't think you have to worry about Javonte as much, but Taylor, Cook, and Dobbins provide, you know, decent running games.
In hindsight, I wish they would have gotten Javonte Williams. Like, the two running backs now, I mean.
Well, J.K. could have been easily. They brought him in for, like, a visit.
Agreed.
They?
I was going to say, I mean, there were three veteran running backs ago that all got paid around the same.
Like, they had two chances.
What Javonte Williams got is what the Chiefs are paying Elijah Mitchell. What J.K. Dobbins got is what the Chiefs are paying Elijah Mitchell. Like, all three of those running backs signed for very similar and kind of around the same part of the season. And two teams have just, they've gotten exponentially more from those guys than what the Chiefs have got.
Because J.K. could have been had the last 2 years when he went to the Chargers, then when he went to the Broncos. So he would have kept them away from them.
And with J.K., if it was an injury concern, it makes sense. Well, then you don't sign Elijah Mitchell, who had the same injury concern into Kansas City.
Yeah, and J.K.'s proven to be a guy. But he might be expendable at Denver with Harvey and the way he's running the football. So we'll see what happens, what Denver does with the running game. Certainly not trading anybody to the Chiefs.
You think Josh Allen ever gets a Super Bowl?
Yeah, eventually. I mean, eventually all quarterbacks end up getting it, like the Staffords and guys like that. It might take a while. It might take 5 or 6 years.
He's at 8 right now.
I think they're going to rebuild that team again because it's going to go down, but he's still there, so we know how good teams go with their quarterback. And they're certainly – Buffalo has proven, like Kansas City, they're just consistently good. And we see these Johnny-come-latelys, like the Colts this year with Daniel Jones. Listen, he's off and having a great year. I get that. But do you look at the team and say, this is the quarterback of the future? This guy is going to have same numbers in 2 and 3 years. Has he got to that point? I don't know yet. Everybody's believing in C.J. Stroud after his rookie year. Second year, third year, starts coming down a bit. But we see all these Johnny-come-latelys, like the Jags. And we've seen this with the Broncos lately. We see what they do. And we've seen it with the Colts. So we see it with these teams where all of a sudden they rise up and they want to be a contender. You know, they want to face the big dogs. And they don't. And at the end of the day, it's Buffalo and Kansas City again.
Yeah, we're getting really close to the Peyton Manning time frame when we're talking about Josh Allen.
He's, what, 29?
Yeah, usually quarterbacks at this stage in their career, if they've been as good as Josh Allen have, they normally have one ring. Like, in the last 25 years, there's two examples. It's Matthew Stafford, who changed teams and got it in his 12th season, and it's Peyton Manning, who got his first ring in his 9th season. Everybody else that you can point to, when they get their first ring, it usually either happens on that rookie contract or really early in that second contract. Guys usually aren't waiting 8 to 10 years to get that first chip.
Do you realize Mahomes only played 2 more games than Josh Allen? Because Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith that first year. Then Allen was the next year. Was he drafted in 18? 2 games separate them. And you know what those 2 games are? That one game in Denver, Mahomes' rookie year, that final game of the year where he started, and then Mahomes had the Allen had the bye week. So it'll catch up to just one behind him here in a couple, where next week when the Chiefs have the bye week. So it's very similar. You can make that comparison with stats, and all the passing stats, of course, are Patrick, and the rushing ones have gone to Josh. But you can make that comparison because they've essentially played the same amount of games in the NFL.
Coming up on the other side, I want to talk to you about the coaching cycle right now that's happening in college football. And, I mean, Binkley, you think we can get you out of here without our favorite segment? We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This. All right, coming up in a bit, we're going to get to random question time with Jay Binkley. But let me remind you guys that our college football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners, they are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your favorite college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets at Kansas area Tanners locations. Bud Light and Tanners. From the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. We got Binkley in studio. Matt Rhule has made the decision that he is going to stay at the University of Nebraska. There were certainly a lot of questions about it. He is an alum of Penn State University. He is friends with the AD at Penn State University. Would have made a lot of sense if that was the job he was going to take. He is deciding to be here. I know we want to talk Chiefs and Bills. We'll get to that here. I want to make one point really quickly, Binkley, and get your thoughts on it. A lot of these schools are going to end up spending a lot of money to get the exact same coach they just fired. I'm guessing once Penn State hires their next coach, James Franklin's a better coach than him.
It's a good chance of that. It's what coaches are doing. And not only that, but you're seeing coaches stay. They're kind of taking that Bob Stoops method of job opening, give me paid, give me more money.
I think that's what Eli Drinkwitz is about to do.
Yeah, they're all doing it. Watch Lane Kiffin, you know, stay at Ole Miss. I know that allure to LSU is big and an allure to Florida, but he's been putting some things out there about, I think, you know, staying at Ole Miss.
This is why I think Kiffin's going to leave. I don't think you can win the national championship at Ole Miss. I think he's pretty close to what Ole Miss's ceiling is. Maybe they end up making a college football playoff. I just don't think you can win the championship there. You can win the championship at Florida. You can win it at LSU. Just resources, recruiting bases, all of those things. We've seen him hop jobs enough. I think Lane Kiffin's the one that I do think is leaving.
He might. He's been putting some stuff out there that maybe he wants to stay. I always thought he was going to leave and hit the next thing smoking. There's, what, 11 jobs now. The Kent State took their interim tag off their coach. There was 12 available, but 11 coaching jobs out there at big universities.
Is there one you think's a sleeper job?
Oklahoma State. I think that's the right situation, the right guy that can be competitive in the Big 12, because you're seeing BYU and Cincinnati do it and these other schools. So, yeah, Oklahoma State.
I know it's not open yet. I think that job's Florida State. I think Florida State's just kind of one of those, like, always a sleeping giant. Like, I still believe in traditional recruiting in the sense of, you know, there's some places that you don't really have to leave the state to get some of the best talent. Like, if you're the coach at LSU, you got a significant advantage. Kids grow up in Louisiana dreaming to play at LSU. If you're at USC, like, you just have such an advantage out there on the West Coast. I think that Florida State, Miami, and Florida are just one of those kind of places. Maybe you would argue Florida and the SEC. But I just think being in the ACC, Florida State, once that job opens up, I think Florida State's going to put themselves in a really, really good position.
Yeah, because the ACC, like the Big 12, winnable. It's much different than the SEC. You may think you're good. You may think LSU look good. And don't forget, a couple years ago, they had Jaden Daniels. They had Brian Thomas, who's actually good then in catching the football. And they had Malik Nabers.
They always get guys. Yeah.
And they just couldn't play defense at that point. And this team this year at LSU was a pretty good team, but obviously couldn't play offense for some reason, which is shocking because Nussmeier was looked upon as being a top first-round quarterback going into the season, but they still couldn't find a way to win. But, man, the SEC will humble you quickly. You know, Oklahoma.
You know what I think is getting the LSU job? I think it's going to be Joe Brady. I think it's going to be the Bills' offensive coordinator. He was Joe Burrow's offensive coordinator when he was there. I think a big part of being the head coach of LSU, it's knowing the culture and just being well-liked. I think we're starting to learn some of the politics down there. I mean, the governor had a press conference about it and came out and said that the athletic director will not be making the hire. Like, you got to understand how things work down there. So I think they got to hire one of their own. I think Joe Brady makes a lot of sense. He's done a great job in the NFL. He knows the lay of the land. It makes a lot of sense to me why they would go get Joe Brady. That's who I think they go get.
Yeah, I agree with that because the connection, the culture you're talking about, and a significant pay raise being the head coach of LSU.
Drinkwitz is about to put himself in there. Like, Drinkwitz can play this thing to be in a top five highest paid coach in college football. He's already number 10 right now in college football.
He's going to get a raise.
And you got Florida open, Cignetti Penn
got
State
one,
open.
Got one. They're going to get one.
100%. There's going to be a lot of coaches that end up getting a raise because of all of these jobs that are open, and Eli Drinkwitz is probably at the top of that list. All right, Binkley, before we get you out of here, I mean, there's really only one thing left to do.
Random question time!
We've been asking people this question. Chips Ahoy, Oreos.
I'm more of an Oreos guy, but I do like Chips Ahoy a lot, especially this combination, this collaboration they have with Reese's. The Reese's combined with the Chips Ahoy, that is spectacular. But typically, I would typically go Oreo. I like them both. I'm saying I like them both, but Oreo has always been a classic to me.
Do you just eat the Oreo regular, or do you kind of do the twist? And
no, I just eat it regularly.
Okay. I think Oreos.
They still make the double stuff ones. Those were.
Yeah,
good.
I think Oreos too dependent on milk.
You think so?
I think it's eating an Oreo by itself, man. I don't think you can do it.
Chips are always good, but again, that collaboration with the Reese's they have, that's top notch.
I love the chewy. The one that comes in the red one, just phenomenal.
Oh, the chewy one.
Someone asked, do you like regular sunflower seeds or flavored sunflower seeds? A great question.
I like them flavored. You know, like the ranch ones. The ranch ones are the honey or whatever, and you carry those around. But yeah, I like the flavored sunflower seeds.
I normally get the barbecue sunflower
Barbecue's
seeds.
Barbecue's good.
Or they have the cracked pepper. Do you ever get the cracked pepper
I've
kind?
Got those before, too. I go to those ranch. The ranch are there, get the ranch.
I am a believer that everybody has like a road trip snack. Mine are Twizzlers, sunflower seeds, and Powerade. If you give me that, I can drive for as long as you need
Twizzlers
me to drive.
Or Red Vines? Or
Twizzlers.
The Wallabies?
Twizzlers.
Okay. I'm a licorice guy, too. So licorice on road trips, beef jerky for sure. In a nice, cool can of Copenhagen.
Yeah, I don't ever get the beef jerky. I don't mind beef jerky. It's just one of them things, like, I'm about to spend $9 on this.
It's
like,
expensive, but beef jerky is a great road trip snack.
I'm thinking about buying a house. What advice would you have for me?
Man, car, then the house. Things are going well for you, Carrington.
I gotta be an adult.
I think it's a great investment to do because it turns into an investment. Do what you can in there. I'd get something, maybe try to fix it up a little bit here and there, get more return on your investment. I don't know if you want to get something ready-made right now. Just put your own taste to it in the house.
I was joking with Rob about this. No one that owns a home makes owning a home seem like it's a very, very fun thing. I went to sit down with the lender a couple days ago. We were just kind of going over
it's
stuff.
Awesome.
And I did like the pre-approval process and stuff. And she was walking me through all the fees that you have to pay. And I was like, wait, people do this? Like this? No part of this. Now, looking at the houses and searching on Zillow and online, that's been fun. Nothing else associated with this has been a fun experience.
But then you have all the things you're not counting on. Like the washing machine's not working. You can't just call somebody for that. You got to pay for that. You got to call somebody still, but you got to pay for that. Snow removal, those kind of things. I mean, yeah, stuff starts adding up when you get into home ownership.
Someone asked a great question. Bank, when was the last time that you carved a pumpkin?
When my kids were small. So okay. I did partake in that when they were about 10 years ago.
What was the better time in college? Was it Halloween or was it St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day, for sure.
I mean, at my school was Halloween. Halloween really? Was the biggest weekend when I was in school.
Yeah, people got into it, I think. I never did. Obviously, I had my takes on Halloween and costumes and things like that. Not a huge fan of that. So
you're not a huge Halloween costume
no,
fan?
No, I'm just not. It's just all the Twitter pictures of people trying to be Travis and Taylor or whatever. And it's a kid's holiday, man, but adults are making it about themselves. They are. The adults are making it about themselves. They're going to these adult Halloween parties.
Good. I love it.
What about the kids? They don't even trick or treat anymore. They just go trunk or treats or things like that. It's like, why even buy the candy?
I want to say that the opinion expressed right there by Jay Binkley, that's a you. You know what I want? I want more people to continue to post pictures on Halloween. I love Halloween.
Oh, no, man.
I love Halloween.
Especially the NFL, you wanna know why? And the NBA and all these you guys showing up their costumes.
You
want
to know why? Because you're not on Instagram. That's your problem. You need to get on Instagram. You get on Instagram, you'll start to really appreciate it,
too. But St. Patrick's Day is fun because it's an all-day deal. It's an all-day drinking experience. But not that Halloween isn't. But.
Give me a candy you love and a candy you hate.
Love Snickers.
Okay.
Hate
Tom Brady of candy.
Hate anything with Coke in it, like an Almond Joy, something like that. Anything with Coke in it, don't like it. But Snickers, especially frozen. When Binkley. You freeze the Snickers, you kidding me.
Binkley, you're a good man. That is our guy, Jay Binkley, joining us in studio. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to get you ready for Chiefs and Bills. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work. Canva.com.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.